Good morning.
Good morning. There you
go. We're going to continue our study in the cross of Christ. Again, this is not a study of two pieces of board together as a symbol of not something that we wear around our neck, but the meaning of the cross. What did what did Christ do on the cross? How what it meant for before the cross? What were they looking forward to? What did the cross, the heart of the cross, and then how now shall we live? What impact does the cross bring to our life? How do we, our actions reflect the changed life that Christ has made in our life? So those are some of the things, and I'm especially excited about this passage because, not passage, but this topic, because it's something that gives us a framework for our life, gives us an understanding of how now shall I live, how do I relate to the family of God, how do I relate to the body universal, and how do I relate to the world, how do I relate to the lost that don't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So I get excited about those things. I really get excited about those things because when I was real young, prior to college, I didn't think a lot of these things. As I went through college, the Lord taught me a lot about the importance of, okay, what is the Bible, how does the Bible give me a framework to live my life? Live my life in interactions to different kinds of people, meaning believers and non-believers. And then even as a family now, how can I relate to it? So you'll see a lot of practical, very practical things to think about today. And I especially get excited. Okay, if you could see, I'm really excited today because I like this topic. But this is very applicable for young college students and young people today because it's something that is not thought about enough in your life. 20, 30s, even families also, but something to think about, and you'll understand more as we get into this. So, the cross of Christ. In our short time that we have, I'm going to just share with you a few of these thoughts. The uniqueness of Christianity, again, this was the four-part session that we've been considering of how important the cross is. And what did Christ do on the cross that blew away our thoughts, blew away history, divided history, and has, gives us a framework to live today and understand the world. Understand the sin, the suffering, the calamity, the different things that happen in our world gives us a framework. So approaching the cross of Christ, the cross, we looked at God's covenant. You know, God fulfilled. That's a powerful word, okay? God fulfilled many promises and prophecies when he sent his son to die on the cross for you and I. Let that sink in, okay? Because that's not something that many religions could say. You know, they preach about something in the future or things to do or work towards, but God fulfilled his covenant and his promises to bring salvation. We looked at the heart of the cross. We looked at the seriousness of our sin before him. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, right? The seriousness of our sin required a payment. Required a payment from a God that could not, he couldn't just say, these people have sin, I'll just let it go. He couldn't do that. He's holy. He's just. He had to bring justice to that. And that perfect, and I say it again, that perfect gift was his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then last month, we looked at the achievement of the cross, and I think this was building up in me, just getting to this topic, but the achievement of the cross is salvation. What did the cross achieve for you and I? That we cannot just sit here accepted in the Beloved, but we have hope. We have hope for the future. We have peace in our lives now. Not peace that, I hope I have peace. Whatever happens, David, thank the Lord through David's message last week about suffering and about why the Lord allows suffering. that we may know him more, right? And grow in our faith, but we still have peace. Peace through Christ. Salvation. Another achievement of the cross we looked at, revelation of God. The revelation of God here on earth. Right? How amazing is that? John 1:14, right? He came and dwelt among us, God revealing. Okay, what extent do you need to have someone show you love? You know, when I was planning my marriage, and I had to do a lot of the preparations because my wife was in India. So if there was anything like colors and, you know, flowers and stuff like that, I had to call India. That bill is still outstanding. But when I was thinking about inviting guests and inviting those people that have impacted my life, I was like, man, I really hope this person that meant so much to me would come. And when then I come on my special day, right, this special day, and I see them face to face, what a revelation of love. God did that for you and I. God came and dwelt among us. God's revelation. And then we see, and we also talked about the conquest or the victory over the enemy and sin. All right, so let me keep going here. Living under the cross. This is what our topic is today. Living under the cross. You know, John Stott, who I was doing a lot of study in his book, was his question was, how could any sane person worship as a god a dead man who had been justly condemned as a criminal and subjected to the most humiliating form of execution? This combination of death, crime, and shame put him beyond the pale of respect, let alone worship, right? 1 Corinthians 1:18 is this verse that we've been thinking about, right? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. But to us, and this us is what I'm going to focus on today, this, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Living under the cross. Living under the cross, the heart of the cross, moved by perfection of his holy love, God in Christ substituted himself for us as sinners. I'm going to, so we're looking at the cross, right? Now we're looking at living under the cross. If we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, how should I live, right? What kind of framework should I live under that would honor, glorify the Lord, and that also that he has put into place that protects you and I, that brings blessing to you and I? What does that look like? How now shall I live? What has the Lord put in his living word that gives me an understanding of how I can live to his glory? We're going to look at that in two ways. We're going to look at the community, the body of the Christ, body of Christ. What did Pentecost, at Pentecost, what was created? Okay? And when we think about the body of Christ. And then this idea of self-awareness, this idea of self-denial, self-understanding. Understanding how am I, as a personal believer, in relation to the cross, how does it relate to every action as I live my life? And as I deal with sin, as I deal with suffering, as I deal with persecution, how does this understanding of the cross lead me in this way? Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, right? It's a self-denial. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is a powerful Paul's admonition here, right? Paul's saying, this is my life statement. If this is, you know, people have favorite verses, this is one of my favorite. Because it's like drawing a line in the sand to Satan and to the sin that I have reckoned dead. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. If Christ lives in me, how should I live my life? And so we're going to look at how should I live my life through these two ways. You know, when we look at what Christ did for us on the cross, you know, the few thoughts I had was, I have salvation unto God, a new creation, a believer is now bonded and knit together to a larger people group, all belonging to Christ, right? We are knit together in Christ. Have you ever thought about what that means? You know, as a young person, I came to know the Lord when I was 10 years old. You know, when you're 10, you're not thinking a lot about bills, taxes, and all those kinds of things. But you're thinking about other things that are going on. But I came to know the Lord at 10, and I should have took this more seriously. What does it mean now that I'm in Christ? What does it mean that I'm now in Christ, and I now belong to these people, right? These people, a people group. And this group, as well as individually, is used for His purposes to create a holy chosen group, to build one another up, and to make Christ known to a lost world. You know, Christ on the cross, John 12:32 said, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." Now you could take that, take a step back and say, that's salvation, right? Salvation given to all peoples group. But that, do those peoples live individually? Is there an individual purpose? Now we see Christendom today, right? We have this very commuting culture. We are a very commuting culture where we don't put down roots, right? We don't put down roots anywhere. We don't invest our lives into maybe a church body. We like to stay a little one step back. I was watching a video, and actually, let me tell you about another story. I went for a youth conference in Illinois once. I think it was Illinois. That Emmaus conference? Yeah, it was it wasn't in Iowa. I know Emmaus is in Iowa, but we went to see Willow Creek. Have you ever heard of Willow Creek? So they were having this youth leaders conference there. It was an awesome conference. But at this large church, one of the largest churches in the U.S. or in the world, you had every convenience within the church. If you want to stop and get a cappuccino, well, some may like that, I don't know. You know, every convenience, you know, you had valet service, you know, all these different things. And are we catering to people's individual desires? Or do we have this mentality of being a part of a larger group for His glory? And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. All peoples, yes, through salvation. But what's He talking about as a community? You know, we have this personal allegiance to Christ. You know, I like John Stott when he says here, the cross is not just a badge to identify us and the banner under which we march. It is also the compass which gives us bearings in a disorientated world. In particular, the cross revolutionizes our attitudes to God, to ourselves, to other people, both inside and outside the Christian fellowship, and to the grave problems of violence and sufferings. You know, this understanding that we have been brought together as a body for His glory. How do we live that way? You know, I grew up in a very conservative assembly, and in a very Indian assembly, which was a really good assembly. But when I was young, I thought the culture identified me more than why we met. Does that make sense? The culture, the Indian culture, this Indian assembly I was a part of, identified me more to these peoples that were sitting around me than the name of Christ. And that was a wrong understanding for me. I didn't have that correct. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Go ahead and turn there. We're going to start breaking this down a little bit in understanding of this framework that we've been giving. In Hebrews 10:19, we've been given in God's Word an understanding of how now shall we live, right? How should I live? And if I could encourage young people especially, why are you here? well, it's Sunday morning. This is what I do Sunday morning. No. Think past that. Why are you here? What compels you, other than your parents say you have to go, or what compels you to be in the seat that you're sitting in? And why would God institute this assembly, this group of believers? Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, okay, so he's talking to multiple, right? Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 24 is what I want to focus on. And let us consider one another. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Think about that, okay? The writer in Hebrews is saying, consider this, brethren, now that you're in Christ, now that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you have life through Him, how now shall you live? How am I supposed to relate to one another? So we all hold fast to one confession, right? And we have the boldness to enter into worship. We have boldness. We come here in the Lord's Supper, right? We come with boldness. This is not something to take lightly. We come here as invited guests to worship and to remember our Lord and Savior. So we have that boldness. The veil is torn, right? We have full access to Christ. And then he says here, let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Consider my brother. Consider my sister in good works. And what is the compulsion here in verse 25? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Why can't I enjoy my fellowship with my God and my Savior at home? Why not? This is the question that has to be answered. What is God telling me if I have accepted Christ and I live under the cross, I live under by faith and walking in this faith journey, why can't I worship by myself? Why can't I for 1 hour on Sunday morning, have a good worship time, and I'm good? God hasn't called us to that. In His living Word, He has called us to something higher, something more precious that brings Him honor and glory when we think of one another. When we stir up the gift, when we stir up love and good works in each other, He's calling us to that. Now, that's tough. I'm not saying that's easy. But he's saying, in Christ, I have called out a new people group and a new creation that will glorify my name together. You see this, you hear this in the Old Testament, right? Israel was called to be a group of worshipers, and of course they failed, but God was holding them together, right? You know, Michael Card has an awesome song. I can't think of the title right now, but he says, it's a song that says in words from Hebrew, a new and living way have we been created in. He's created this new and living way that I live my life, and that's within the people of God. How awesome is that? How awesome is that when we're in a group together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I think last week, when we had to share a matter of discipline within the assembly. You know, a lot of assemblies, a lot of churches, it's not a big thing. And I'll tell you why. It's not a big thing because people come and go, and they get their fill of church. You know what I mean? They get their fill of church and they wash their hands and leave. But when we have to put someone out of fellowship, when we have to invoke discipline, you are removing that person. It's like cutting off a hand from the protective body of the assembly. God's blessing departs from that person. That's why when God calls us together as in the body of Christ and what we have in Christ, you come to live as a body, as an organism, to come together, to work, to live, to exhort, to love one another for His glory. This is the new and living way. This is the new framework. You know, you guys in college, and I point there, this is where the college group sits. You know, when I was in college, I didn't think about this. When I left my home assembly and went to college, I went to college 15 hours away. I was running. I was running for the assembly because I felt stifled. I just wanted to run. But as I went through college, I went church hopping. I didn't have a home. I didn't have a body of believers that kept me accountable and stirred me up in the name of the Lord. And I hurt for that. While I can't tell you how much I craved the Lord's Supper, I craved to worship the Lord with like-minded believers and to glorify His name. See, you young people, think about this. Think about what God has called together of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. This is what the cross has given us, a new creation and a new people group. Let me keep going here. In love, in respect to what Christ has done, so much we should love one another, right? We see Hebrews here, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. 1 John 4:18 through 19. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Let me take a step back here. Let's take a check of where we are in culture. We live in such a technology-filled world that it's okay, or that people live lives disconnected face-to-face, right? They could have their own social world outside of personal one-on-one relationships. And what do we see of the effects of that? I'm in healthcare. I can't tell you how high mental claims are soaring. People that cannot relate to one another because they can't sit down and have coffee face-to-face. As a youth leader, it was so hard to find time with a young person because their activities, their days are filled with activities. And people can't have a good old conversation over a cup of tea. Or I call it chaya. Do you see what I'm saying here? As believers, God has created this group of people. We share one spirit that have to communicate with one another. Why? For edification. For stirring up in gifts, for loving one another. You see here what he says. How can a brother, I say I love God, but hates his brother? He has to show love of God by loving his brother. You know, we as elders, we talk a lot about the fellowship. The fellowship. What's the health of the fellowship? How can we create a mentality of loving one another, stirring up one another? We think about Joey and Sydney. Do you know how awesome it is to have a baby? But not only that, the journey they have taken and the journey that we have taken to encourage them. This is what the body is all about. This is the community that God has created amongst the body of believers. To show them love, to stir them up in the name of God. I better keep going, or I'm getting too excited here. So, Galatians 6, real quick. This is one of my favorite verses. I just want to read it with a little comment. Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Verse 10 is an awesome verse. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. What does it say? Especially to those who are the household of faith. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? Especially. Good to all in the name of Christ to show the gospel, but especially to the household of faith. All right. I haven't gotten to the second point, so we'll do part two next week. Okay. Community, the body of Christ. This is excites me even more. The joy that being in Christ has brought to our lives individually, but more importantly, I won't say more importantly, that's not a good choice of words, but also through the community of the body of Christ. Let's look at, everyone turn to Acts chapter 2. This is an awesome, gives us an example of we as believers, and this is not just assembly teaching, this is the Word of God. What does the Word of God tell us of how now shall I live? We're going to read, starting with Acts chapter 2, verse 44. And this is joy, okay? Think about joy here. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. What is he saying here? Now all who believed, being in Christ, had all these things in common. And sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. Verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Verse 44, right here, just, I know this is probably a small point, but an awesome point. Now, all who believed were together. They were together. They were together as believers. They know the Christ, they have come together in Christ, and they were together. I don't think it's a small point. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common. I know what's going on in LaJoy's life. If I don't know, I'm not doing my part as a brother. And I ask you for anyone for forgiveness for that if I don't know or if I don't ask. Even Wednesday night prayer time. This is a time not to just, you know, just to mention people for prayer, but to also share what's going in my life. You know what? I've had a tough time at work today. I had a struggle today. They had all things in common and they were together. So let's think about joy. What did they have as a believing group of believers? What did they have joy? Their joy was founded in what? Christ. So because of their joy in Christ, they sold their possessions and goods. They sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all as anyone had need. They were poor, right? These are first century believers, poor, but they believe in Christ, right? And they were going to be persecuted. But did that stop them? In the name of Christ, they sold all things, gave all things up, and shared among one another. They weren't afraid to name the name of Christ. Who would, like John Stott would say, who would say, I am of Christ, when he was convicted as a criminal, put on the tree justly, to pay for the sins of the world, but it revolutionized their life. It revolutionized their life. And they came as together as one in the name of Christ. And what did they do? Sorry, let me keep going. What did they do? Verse 46. So continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness. Why did they eat their food with gladness? Why? What does the simplicity of heart mean? They ate their food of gladness because all their cares and worries were gone. All their cares and worries were gone. They were in Christ. They were founded in Christ. And they were part of this larger thing, the body of Christ and His name. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now this is probably a point where we have to kind of close on, but I didn't even get the second part, part two. Anyway, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily. How did the Lord add to the church daily? Right? They were going from house to house worshiping, right? They were having their Lord's suppers within the house to house. Praising God and having favor with all people. You see, this church group, this church body was so on fire, so for the name of Christ and glorifying His name, that they went throughout the markets. They weren't ashamed of being in Christ. They were living their life daily in the name of Christ. And this joy was infectious. It was infectious. You know, one of the things that was precious to us when we went to Moldova, you know, we were away from this body. You know, and it was hurtful, kind of sad to be away from our families and stuff. But I tell you, we had such sweet worship there. And it was such simple worship. And to meet some of the missionaries there that had a simplicity of heart and a joy to serve the Lord, it was just awesome to see. We went to an assembly up in Virginia. We were up for a wedding in Virginia. And we went to a small assembly, very small assembly. And a small group of believers. But oh, when they stood up for the Lord in the Lord's Supper to share their love for Christ, I was so encouraged in my life. They had a gladness, a simplicity of heart, and they met together to worship His name. This community. The Lord has created this body from the day of Pentecost on till we see Him face to face when we'll all come together to worship. He has brought this body together for His glory. This is what it means to live under the cross. Because of Christ, I know that I need to meet with a group of believers. There's blessing in that. There's blessing in that. There's my last part, I promise you. And then the pizzas are going to show up, okay? Let's talk about this real quick, and we're going to close with this point. Why do we meet? What's the central importance of why we meet? We meet in whose name? Christ's name, right? I know it's in 1 Corinthians. Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. That's not really this world may think, well, that's a weird catchphrase. We preach Christ crucified. That verse was actually on the sign of my assembly back in New York. We preach Christ crucified. What a thought of a central thought of why we meet. Worship, to celebrate remembrance Christ as the Passover lamb. You know, what I wanted to just point out here is the joy of worship, of the central meaning of why we meet is because of Christ. The Lord's Supper is our central meeting. The Lord's Supper is our central meeting. And why is it our central meeting? Well, it's what God has called us to in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 10 and 11. God has called us to meet in this fashion because He knows our failure of forgetting, our failure of not remembering how now shall I live because of Christ. He instituted the Lord's Supper, right? And what is the importance of the Lord's Supper? Right? And you could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We don't have time to look at it, but the means of worship, we are called to remember. We look, actually, we do need to look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. And when He had given, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which He was betrayed took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You know, he's talking to a group of believers coming together to do this as a obedience to the word of God, as worship to his name. We do this. What else does it do? Partake of benefits. 1 Corinthians 10:16. This cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The blood which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? This cup of blessing. You see, this there's a blessing that the Lord is speaking of here for a group that comes to do this. Proclaim, 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You proclaim it. You tell this world that may want to go out and party late Saturday night, no, I can't. I will not because it doesn't honor the Lord. But I will not because I have something in the morning with my Lord and my Savior and the body he has placed me in to worship, to remember his name. And why do I do that? I proclaim the gospel to them. Finally, I close with this. Our unity, 1 Corinthians 11:20. Therefore, when you come together, again, you hear that again? Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. And then he goes on here. But he says here, the unity we have, therefore when you come together in one place. You see, I hope this is not going over the head, or I don't know, this is way too simple. This is missed today. People don't know why they go to church. They go to church to receive something. I go to give something unto the Lord and to glorify his name. I go because I have like-minded brothers and sisters that the Lord has placed me within to glorify his name. Therefore, when you come together in one place, I'll tell this to anyone. If you move anywhere, if you go anywhere, your number one priority should be to find a place of like-minded believers. There's a blessing there. It's honoring the Lord. It's obeying the word of God. You have been created as a new creation to give unto a body of believers, to stir up, to love one another, and to encourage one another. May that be our calling. That's our prayer. You know, that's my prayer. I always think, okay, how's the body doing? How's the fellowship doing? How can I encourage another brother? You know, I can't tell you how much I pray for college students. Because I know what you guys are headed up and the world that you guys are living. They're vying. The world is vying for your attention. The world is pulling at your attention and your needs, your desires and your lusts. There's safety. There's a safety. There's a blessing when you're within a body of believers. And allow that body to encourage you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we, Lord, just come to praise your name and to say thank you, Lord, for the life, Lord, that was given at the cross, Lord, that we may have life today. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you for the abounding grace you have poured to us. Lord, as we consider this topic, as we consider of how what it means to live under the cross in our daily lives, as we walk out of these doors, Lord, how do I live my life according to thy word, according to thy name, Lord? Lord, may we be called, Lord, to follow your word, to be a part of a group of believers. Lord, may we be encouraged to stir up the gift you have given us, Lord, that we may look unto the needs of one another. How can I love my brother and sister more? How, Lord, what do I need to change in my life that is causing me a barrier from your word, from fellowshipping with like-minded believers? Lord, may you call that out. Lord, may you take that out of our lives. Lord, I pray, Lord, that these words would encourage us today. May we, Lord, just continue on in our fellowship as we love one another. Lord, we ask that you just be with us as we leave. May we proclaim the name of Christ, Lord, as we go to this lost world. We thank you, and we lift all this up to your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.